بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين، وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اهتدى بهديه وتحلى بصفاته إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: قل هل يستوي الذين يعلمون والذين لا يعلمون إنما يتذكر أولو الألباب. وقال تعالى: فاسألوا أهل الذكر إن كنتم لا تعلمون. صدق الله العظيم. وقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: إن الله لا يقبض العلم انتزاعا ينتزعه من العباد، ولكن يقبضه بقبض العلماء، حتى إذا لم يبق عالما اتخذ الناس رؤوسا جهالا فسئلوا فأفتوا بغير علم فضلوا وأضلوا، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. My most respected ulama kiram, elders and beloved brothers in Islam, amongst the innumerable bounties and favors of Allah Rabbul Izzah upon insan, upon mankind, is that Allah has made us ashraful makhluqat, the best, the most noble, the most capable of His creation. And as a result of this, Allah has favored us exclusively with a number of qualities, characteristics, attributes, which Allah has not bestowed upon some of His larger and seemingly greater creations. When it comes to the planets, the sun, the moon, the stars, the solar system, these are very large and significant creations of Allah. Yet Allah has not favored them with the attribute of life, of intellect. When it comes to the animal kingdom, again, very intricate, very great, very significant creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah has blessed them with the attribute of life. But Allah has given them a very limited and restricted degree of understanding, of intellect, of decision making. Yet when it comes to insan, ibn Adam, mankind, then Allah has favored us with life, and Allah has favored us exclusively with the attributes and characteristics of aql, of understanding, of intellect, of decision making. And it goes without saying, my dear brothers, the pathway to intellect, to aql, to understanding, without a doubt, is ilm and knowledge. Before we continue, it is a well accepted fact that generally when a manufacturer produces or launches a new product, then it is the standout feature of that product that will be marketed first. As an example, a cell phone manufacturer launches a new device, so it does not make sense for the manufacturer to market and to advertise the cell phone's ability to make and receive calls. This goes without saying. Likewise, the manufacturer will not market and advertise the cell phone's ability to send and receive messages. But if that device enjoys some exclusive feature, something which is not found in other devices, then it will be that feature that is marketed at launch. Perhaps it is some new software, some new processor, some AI features that that device has, which sets it apart from the competition. This will be the first feature that will be marketed when that product is launched. Of course, Allah is free from comparison. Allah is free from any example being attributed to Him. But we find at the inception, at the so-called launch of this creation of insan, when Allah created Nabi Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, the very first characteristic, the very first attribute, the very first so-called feature of insan that was put on display was the ilm and the knowledge of insan. The incident is highlighted and described in the Quran Sharif. Allah speaks about the inception of the creation of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. When Allah had communicated His intention to the angels, and they then objected that, "O Allah, ataj'alu fiha man yufsidu fiha wa yasfiku ad-dima." That, "O Allah, are You going to place into this world such a creation that will cause chaos, that will cause bloodshed, that will cause anarchy?" "Wa nahnu nusabbihu bihamdik." "O Allah, we are an obedient creation of Yours. We glorify You day and night. Why should You create insan? Why should You create mankind? What is so special about him?" Allah wanted to highlight to the angels that by virtue of this characteristic of knowledge, of ilm, the aql, the intellect, the understanding that I have blessed insan with, by virtue of this attribute and characteristic of his, far from creating bloodshed, far from creating chaos and confusion in the world, but if he will use this attribute in the correct manner, then he will become the closest of my creation to me. Allah teaches Nabi Adam alayhi salatu wasalam the names of a few essential items. And then Allah presents these items before the malaika. فَقَالَ أَنْبِئُونِي بِأَسْمَاءِ هَؤُلَىٰ Allah instructs them that, O angels, now you mention the names of these items to me. Let me test your knowledge. The malaika realize. And they say, Subhanak, لَا عِلْمَ لَنَا إِلَّا مَا عَلَّمْتَنَا O Allah, we should not have questioned you. We should not have objected to your decision. Our knowledge is restricted to what you have taught us. Allah then instructs Nabi Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, and he begins to now rattle off the names of these items that Allah had taught him. In this way, Allah highlights to the malaika, to the jinnat, to the angels, to the entire creation, that I have favored insan with this special attribute, with this unique characteristic of intellect, of knowledge. And if he will use this in the correct manner, he will become very close to me. Once we have understood this, my dear brothers, we can well understand if this was the role that ilm and knowledge had to play at the inception of the creation of insan, how much of a role this characteristic will play till the day of Qiyamah. Ulama have mentioned that from this we understand and derive the importance of the sources of our knowledge being authentic and correct. When the source of knowledge is authentic, when a person learns from the correct source, the correct avenue, then ulama say the knowledge he receives will be correct and authentic. The spirituality created within him will be authentic. And ultimately it will translate into amal and practice that is authentic and correct. On the other hand, my dear brothers, when the sources are tainted, when a person will turn to the incorrect avenues to learn his knowledge or to seek his knowledge from, and when he will not display caution and care in this regard, he will not bother about the source of knowledge, then the knowledge that he receives will be tainted. His spirituality will be tainted. And ultimately the amal and actions that this translates into will also be tainted and incorrect. Far from earning the pleasure of Allah, he may be engaging in those acts which he thinks are acts of worship. He may be reading salah, he may be reading Quran, he may be conducting his business dealings. But because the source of knowledge was tainted and incorrect, he does not realize that these so-called acts of ibadat are actually distancing him from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We can well understand and imagine, my dear brothers, how important it is and why this has become increasingly important in today's time. We are living in an age where information is available at the press of a button. From the young to the old, from the literate to the illiterate, from the wealthy to the poor. But each and every person has got access to an entire world of information. All he needs is a device and internet connection. And he has the world of information at his fingertips. And perhaps in the last few years this has intensified with the rise of artificial intelligence, which we find is now common on every device which is in our pockets. How much more important, my dear brothers, that we do not lose sight of the importance of authenticating and verifying the knowledge that we receive. And just to highlight this, to understand the care and the caution that the ulama of the past would exercise in this regard, Imam Malik rahimahullah, who does not know the status, the sacrifice, the efforts, the contributions of Imam Malik rahimahullah in the field of knowledge, in the field of deen. Imam Malik rahimahullah mentions regarding his own teacher and ustad Ayyub As-Sakhtiyani rahimahullah, at which point did Imam Malik decide to take knowledge from him? He says, I observed Ayyub As-Sakhtiyani for 3 consecutive years. Each season of Hajj, I would witness his character. I would observe his ibadat. I would see the way he read salah. I would see the way he conducted himself with people. He says, finally, on the 3rd year, the 3rd Hajj, on one occasion I witnessed him seated close to the well of Zamzam. And I noticed that whenever the name of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was taken, then tears would be streaming down the cheeks and the face of Imam Malik, of Ayyub As-Sakhtiyani. When I noticed this within him, then I realized and I developed some degree of contentment that this is a man worthy of taking knowledge from. When I was now sure of his taqwa, of his piety, of his connection with Allah, of his position in the court of Allah, then only was I satisfied in taking knowledge and learning from him. Ayyub As-Sakhtiyani rahimahullah himself, it is mentioned regarding him, كان يدور حول الأشخاص شهرا, that at times he would observe an individual for up to 1 month. He would observe him from a distance. How he conducted himself, how was his speech, how was his character, how was his relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And only when he was satisfied that this person fit the bill, the boxes were all ticked, then only would he give him the green light and take knowledge from him. Like this, my dear brothers, there are incidents upon incidents that we can mention of the Salafus Saliheen, the level of care that they exercised in this regard. They would not in any way take knowledge from anyone and everyone, but they would go to great lengths to ensure that the source of knowledge be authentic, the source of knowledge be correct. And they perhaps, or this practice of theirs, perhaps can be embodied in that statement of Muhammad bin Sirin rahimahullah, which is worthy of being written in gold in today's time. He says, إِنَّ هَذَا الْعِلْمَ دِينٌ. Understand the knowledge that you receive, the knowledge that you seek, the information that you pursue. This forms the basis of your deen. It forms the basis of your deeni practices. It forms the basis of what you deem to be permissible and impermissible, of what is lawful and unlawful. And then he issues a word of caution. He says, فَانْظُرُوا عَمَّنْ تَأْخُذُونَ دِينَكُمْ. Be very wary and cautious regarding who and where you take your deen from. In other words, continue with the practice of the pious predecessors in authenticating and verifying the information that you receive. Do not just accept knowledge of deen from anyone and everyone. We find this has become, in today's time, my dear brothers, a real and genuine cause for concern, where we find people turning to the internet, whether that account has been verified or not, whether the individual behind the account has any scholarly credentials or not, whether he has been accepted and acknowledged by his contemporaries. But we find people just turning to these sources of knowledge, or so-called sources of knowledge, and then we begin to base our deen and our deeni practices upon this. At times it may be some clip that we receive on the internet or on WhatsApp. At times it may be some social media account that we may be following. At times it may be some foreign speaker that has come to our country. But there is no effort made to verify and authenticate the source of that knowledge. Of course, this does not mean that we should be skeptical when it comes to everything, or that we should judge everyone and anyone. But when it comes to matters of our worldly life, my dear brothers, this is a principle that each and every one of us understand. A person is unwell, he's got some health issue, or perhaps it's his wife or his child, then which person in his right mind will turn to the internet for medical guidance? This is what I Google, these are the symptoms, and therefore I will go ahead and treat myself. Or even worse, I will now conduct surgery on myself. But he understands the importance of going to the correct source, the correct avenue. In fact, he will pay top dollar to ensure that he sees the specialist of the time. Sometimes he will consult with somebody in another province or in another country altogether, because he wants to ensure the advice he receives is genuine. He understands that it will be detrimental to my physical health. It is a life and death situation. The health of my wife is at stake. The life of my child is at stake. I cannot just take knowledge from anywhere. I cannot just take a solution from anywhere. He will get a second opinion, a third opinion. He will make every effort to ensure that the guidance he receives is genuine, is authentic. When it comes to our deen, my dear brothers, it may not be our physical health at stake, but it is our spiritual health, our iman at stake. If we do not ensure that the sources of knowledge are authentic, are correct, if we also will just turn to the internet for guidance in our deeni related matters, then on one hand it was the life of your wife or the life of your child, but here it will be the eternal life of the hereafter. It will be your salvation or your punishment in the qabr. In the akhirat, it will be jannat or jahannam. When it comes to our business matters, our financial matters, we understand this. A person has got a sum of money kept aside. Perhaps he has done some business deal. He has inherited a certain sum of wealth. And now he's looking to make an investment that will be profitable. Then here also he will not just take advice from anyone and everyone. Some family member, some uncle in the family, some cousin of his. But he will ensure he goes to someone trustworthy. He has his broker, he has his banker, whoever it may be. Where do I put these funds? What do I purchase? Where do I park this wealth? What will be most profitable to me in the long term? He makes every effort to ensure he gets the correct advice. Again, he understands that my safety, my comfort in this world is dependent on this. I can make it or break it with this decision, with this investment. This is a principle we all understand, my dear brothers. It is not an alien principle to us. When it comes to these worldly matters, then we apply this to the highest degree. Why is it such when it comes to matters of our deen, matters of our iman, matters of our ibadat, that we are not prepared to be cautious in this regard? Whether it be our youngsters, whether it be the youth, whether it be the elderly. But we just turn to the internet, and even worse than this, my dear brothers, and this is a very real challenge, the influx and the prevalence of artificial intelligence in today's time, where at times entire businesses are being run with the help of AI. Understand this, my dear brothers, ulama have written very clearly, without mincing their words, that the knowledge and the ilm of deen, the preservation of deen, the propagation of deen, of iman, is not something that can be tied and linked to some code behind some computer program. But it will be linked to living and beating hearts. It will be linked to individuals who have taqwa within them, who have sincerity within them, who have years of sweat and tears behind them, who have years of dedication and sacrifice behind them. In the past, and perhaps the elderly will attest to this, the people of the community had trust on the local alim. He may not have been a very fancy speaker. He may not have been a public personality. But they knew him, they knew his background, they knew his father, they knew his grandfather. They saw him grow up in front of their eyes. They had witnessed his dedication, his service to the community. They were ready to bear or to stand as guarantee for his levels of taqwa, his levels of piety. And they entrusted their deen and their deeni affairs to him. And he did not do them down. Their deen was preserved, their iman was preserved, their modesty was preserved. And they passed their deen on to the next generation. Unfortunately, in today's time, my dear brothers, we become attracted to glitz and glamour. And this is the natural reaction of insan. The nafs, the inner soul that Allah has created, the base desires of a person, will always be attracted to that which is fancy, that which is appealing. Put a person on the dastarkhan, on the table, and there's a bowl of salad in front of him, And then there's the baking table or the dessert table that's on the other side. And naturally his eyes will move to that direction. Why? It's appealing. It's sweet. It's palatable. But ask him to eat some health food. Then he struggles to take a bite or two. In the very same way when it comes to our deen. Unfortunately, this is the general reaction of insan. We will be attracted to that which is fancy, that which is appealing. Perhaps it may be some sound effects in the background. It may be some fancy image or video that has been created. It may be some channel or some account that has a large number of followers and subscribers. But understand, my dear brothers, that this was never and will never be the yardstick of what is authentic and correct. Because if this were the case, then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam for 13 years in Makkah Mukarramah would not have had but a handful of followers. The Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam of the past would not have had at times just 9 or 10 people who accepted their message. But the correctness, the authentication, the validation of deen will be based on the principles found in Quran and Sunnah. Understand this much, my dear brothers. Allah has kept His system of hidayat and guidance. Allah never left guidance solely linked to some divine scripture. Likewise, Allah did not keep hidayat purely by following some individual or some person. But it was always a mixture of the two. Allah would send a divine book. Allah would send a Nabi to accompany that divine book. The two went hand in hand. The divine text was there. Whether it be the Torah, the Injil, the scriptures of the past. But with that came the individuals who would explain that divine text. And this continued till the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah gave us the final kitab, Al-Quranul Kareem, in which Allah has kept our hidayat and guidance. But Allah sent Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to accompany this Quran. Without Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is impossible for us to understand the Quran. The million-dollar question, my dear brothers. Now that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is no longer here, can we turn to Quran directly, or do we need something else? At this juncture, we will look into Quran itself. Quran again does not mince its words. If a person lacks the required tools, he lacks the required skill set, he is unable to derive his deen directly from the source, then what does Quran instruct him to do? Quran does not instruct him to turn to the internet. Quran does not instruct him to turn to AI. Quran does not instruct him to turn to a lifeless computer program. But Quran very emphatically, very clearly instructs, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Ask the people of knowledge. Turn to the people of knowledge. Turn to those individuals who have dedicated their lives to the service of Quran, to the service of Hadith and Sunnah. And there you will find the solutions in your deen. There you will find authentic and correct knowledge and information. And in this is a subtle indication, my dear brothers, that Kitabullah, the book of Allah, is telling us that if you want hidayat, you want guidance, you want to be and remain rightly guided, and perhaps more important than that, you want to preserve deen, and you want to propagate deen to the next generation. You want deen to be preserved for your children and grandchildren and progenies to come. Then Kitabullah is saying you cannot detach yourself from Rijalullah, from the men of Allah, from the scholars of the Ummah, from the ulama of the Ummah. At this juncture, my dear brothers, many would raise the objection that as a person who has some link with knowledge, of course we do not call ourselves ulama, but as a person who has some link with knowledge, all you are doing and your intention is to safeguard your fraternity. This is nothing but gatekeeping. Knowledge is available to everyone. Why do we need to consult the ulama? Just one hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and perhaps we will understand, my dear brothers. Allah made dua for the gatekeeping of knowledge. In fact, Nabi alayhi salatu wasallam asked not to live to see such a time where the people of knowledge would be discarded. Allahumma la yudrikni zaman, aw la yudriku zamanan, la yuttaba'u fihi al-alim. Oh Allah, don't let me live to see such a time. where the knowledgeable ones of my ummah will not be followed. In other words, when the sources of knowledge, the correct sources of knowledge will be, in our words, when we will take our knowledge from the internet, from AI, from some computer generated or some program on the computer, and when we will discard the years of sacrifice that the ulama have made, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying, "Oh Allah, I do not want to live to see such a time." La yudriku zamanan, don't let my companions live to see such a time. We will conclude on this, my dear brothers. A person services his vehicle at some backdoor mechanic. He wishes to save a little bit on the cost of the service. He uses some inferior quality parts. Perhaps the mechanic himself doesn't come with any credentials or reviews. Then we can all understand, my dear brothers, expect that engine to cease. Expect that gearbox to give up. Expect that exhaust to begin smoking. On the other hand, the person who will pay the price, despite it may be costing him initially, but he will service at the agents. He will go to the correct avenue. He will leave his vehicle in the care of a trustworthy mechanic, someone who has knowledge behind him, experience behind him. Then he can ensure that he will find longevity in that vehicle. He will get his miles out of it and he will get his price back. Initially, he took it upon himself, the difficulty, the cost. But the repayment will be given to him in the longevity of that vehicle. In the very same way, my dear brothers, if our deen will be serviced in a backdoor way, through the internet, through some unvetted and unverified foreign scholars, or whoever it may be, and we will not turn to the correct sources of knowledge, we will not ensure that we take knowledge and ilm and deen from the correct places, then we can expect the vehicle of deen also to backfire. We can expect the vehicle of deen and iman to cease. We cannot expect to leave this world with kalima upon our tongues. On the other hand, if we will make the sacrifice, if we will swallow the bitter pill, if we will hand over our deeni matters to those qualified in this regard, then we can expect to get mileage out of our iman, mileage out of our deen, and ultimately the yardstick of salvation, the yardstick of success, we will leave this world with iman and kalima upon our tongues. Allah give us tawfiq and correct understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.